The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
On today's show, we are live in studio, so we will be taking calls from anybody interested in chatting with us about anything retirement related. Phone number to call in if you're anxiously awaiting, want to get in first thing. Well, there's still room. Won't have to wait in line at all. 970-353-1310 is the phone number, or if you're out of the area, 877-353-1310. Welcome to today's show. I'm Chris Stein, and I'm here with Jim Saulnier as well, as kind of our normal setup here. We've got our final live show here in the month of June 2016, so we will be giving away the pie, for those of you who don't know or hadn't heard, for all those people who call in during our live shows. We put your name in a hat, and at the end of the month, we will draw that name, draw one name to receive a free Fat Albert's pie. Fat Albert's being a fine restaurant that makes fabulous pies here in Greeley, Colorado. And turns out we have nobody in the hat so far for this month, so the hat will be filled only with today's callers. You can also email us live during the show. That email address is jim@jimhelps.com. That's jim@jimhelps.com. And that counts as an entry, too, as long as you give us your name. We have to have that for rules and regulations purposes in order to give you the pie, obviously. Plus, we need to know who to contact. So, good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing quite well. I'm fascinated that every week you struggle with the arm on your microphone.
It always moves every time I go to talk.
There's a certain position where the spring is strong enough to pull it back. If you sit farther away, then
True.
It will extend more. And
but I like to sit close to the desk here.
Well,
look
I mean,
at my iPad. Be ready for it. I'm all right. I got it working. Don't worry.
Okay.
Don't hassle me.
I just don't want people to miss out on all the juicy words that you use.
Well, I hardly ever talk on the show. It's usually you.
That's true. That's true. Do you remember Swap Shop? I miss Swap Shop.
Why?
Well, because people would go out on the radio and sell things.
Swap Shop was the reason we had to stay at an hour for a very long time.
True.
So that's probably why you miss Swap Shop.
Well, that's just icing on the cake. I hadn't really thought about that part.
They wouldn't let us go to 2 hours because they didn't want to cut Swap Shop.
Swap Shop was at 9 o'clock. Yeah, it was a very popular show here on KFK.
It was. I think the story goes they were doing some sort of Christmas thing, some sort of promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And every show would go to a certain store or something in the Greeley area and do something for Christmas. So the shows would hype up, oh, make sure you come to this location. So they hyped up on the Swap Shop what store to go to for all the I guess, Swapshopians mm-hmm. who listened to that show, and no one showed up.
Oh.
So they realized not too many people were listening to Swap Shop.
That's I hadn't heard that story.
That's what I was told.
Sounds like a rumor. Oh. Sounds like maybe an urban myth.
I don't know. It was
we can go to Snopes.
A high-end person at KFKA shared that story with me.
Well, then maybe it's true. I don't know.
But
either way, Swap Shop is no longer with us. No. Rest in peace.
Which always was amazed me, that show, because this was in the age of the internet and Craigslist and photos. Because people would call, yeah, I have a desk. It's square. It's brown. It's got four legs.
Mm-hmm. I'm asking $20 for it.
And you could put that on Craigslist with an actual photo.
It's a little more spur of the moment, though. Just being able to pick up the phone and call. Oh, man, I forgot to bring the desk to the garage sale. Let me call Swap Shop as I'm driving around. It's hard to do that on Craigslist. You can't really do that.
Right, but I don't know. I just think Swap Shop was killed off by the internet.
Probably. But either way. People would call that and maybe sell things like a camper.
Like you're trying to sell today at 10:30?
I am, actually. Thanks
for
asking.
So why don't you tell us about your camper?
Yeah, I've got a nice 2007 Fleetwood Niagara. Nice pop-up. High-end, high wall, so you don't have to – has the full-size refrigerator and everything in there. Two king beds, a hard-sided bathroom inside that folds up.
Very, I've seen very it glorious. When you had it popped up and open.
Yeah, it's
I'm
very
amazed
nice.
How mm-hmm. big it opens to. Mm-hmm. Because when I pulled into the parking lot today to pick you up, it's not really that big when it's all folded down.
No, it's perfect for – yeah. We're just moved up to a larger
Correct.
Travel trailer. So.
And at 10:30, Chris has someone coming to look at it. But if anybody wants, you can call today's
call
show.
Call and make a reservation. We can I can get
anybody's
you to see it.
Anybody's looking for a pop-up
no
camper.
Yep.
And it held the full brood, all six?
It'll sleep because of the king beds on both sides and the table folds down. You can sleep eight people in it.
Wow.
Three on each end. And then two people on the bed
on the
that's
table.
The table. Yeah. Eight is pretty tight in there, but you can do that. It's more comfortable with about six people in there.
Six? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. If anybody interested, let us know. 970-353-1310. So the only topics of the day are retirement issues or campers. That we're open to talking about campers today as well.
And again, this is our last live show for the month of June. So we are going to be giving away the Fat Albert's Pie today. And if anybody does call, they could win the Fat Albert's Pie. And we do have – we received 10 emails this week.
It was a flurry.
It was our record week. We've never even come close to 10.
I think maybe three or four before.
Well, most of them are iTunians. Mm-hmm. We got two local. And one local, if I remember, I got to find his email. He did put in there that he lives in Denver and he liked to be put in the pie drawing. And if he wins, he wants to see what we're talking about with Fat Albert's Pie.
Oh, it's totally worth the drive from Denver.
Yeah. So he would be in the running.
Perfect. Well, if you find his email, I'll add him to the list.
Yeah. The only thing is we're not going to get to his question today.
That's fine. I think that's not his fault. Yeah. So I think
No. His question's a very good question. It's a very short question. It's one paragraph. But as soon as I read his question, I was like, God, I could do a whole show on this. So I decided I'm going to do a whole show on it. And I reached out to him and got a little bit more information. And we'll probably talk about it next week or the week after. But there's a very simple question. And I read it and I thought, oh, my God, this is right up my alley. Because I could take a simple question and turn it into
spin it into 2 hours.
Easily with this one, very easily. And it could involve, not even in a roundabout way, but a semi-direct way, your favorite topic.
Oh, no. More Culex?
More Culex.
Okay.
So it's more than just a Culex question, though. It's a long-term care.
I don't mind Culex being related to something, but entire shows on Culex, we've done that.
Three times,
plus a little bit on another show, so I'm Culex weary.
Two of the people who emailed us, though, out of the 10 we received, did mention they had never heard of those before, and they appreciated those shows.
I appreciated them, too. I also appreciate that they're over and that we've covered that.
We have, but his particular question, the gentleman from Denver, and I'll find it in a minute, he does want to be put in the pie drawing. But why we're mentioning this to our local listeners who are not listening to us off of iTunes and can actually call the show, especially for those in Greeley. This will probably be the last month we do two live shows, at least through the summer. We're thinking of doing one live show in July, one in August, and one in September. mostly driven from the fact not too many people call lately. We seem to be all emails.
Well, summertime's.
It is summer.
We've done this show long enough that we know that in the summertime things get a little quieter as far as calls go.
So we were thinking of cutting down to one live show a month in the summer. So at least for August, July, August, and September. Whether we decide to keep that through the fall and winter, we'll have to decide. Because it does kind of get right in the middle of the day. It kind of sucks up our morning. By the time we drive out to Greeley, do a two-hour show, drive back, I'm usually getting home around 11:15, and it's almost lunchtime. So the Saturday mornings are gone. I can't hike. I can't work into my yard or anything. So we decided, under Chris's suggestion a few weeks ago, to cut these down to one. The reason we mention this, it makes today very important. Right now, we can put this one gentleman from Denver in our pie drawing. But other than that, if somebody actually wants to win the pie, today is the day to do it. And Pete thought, who will be with us in a few more weeks, Pete thought making one live show a month, we could encourage people to call at the very least. They can be entered into a pie drawing today. Instead of having to wait till the end of the month, boom, right here, today.
Immediate satisfaction. Although you can't get your pie today, but
they won't be able to get the pie today.
They'll know that they've won the pie, and they can dream about it over the next several days until they get their coupon.
Correct. Yeah, we have to give coupons now because very savvy, or shall we say very savvy, unethical individuals would listen to the show, get the name of the person who won the pie, waltz into Fat Albert's, say that, yeah, I'm Frank, I just won the pie. And before you know it, like four Franks are walking in. So now we have to do a coupon.
Those Franks.
Well, I used Frank as an example. I'm not picking on Franks.
Okay.
But you got to admire the creativity of people.
Named Frank.
Not Frank. I'm just giving a generic name. Franks, I'm not throwing you all under the bus as unethical pie stealers.
Well, I guess the point is Frank was the ethical one because he really won, but the people claiming to be Frank.
Yeah, we don't even know
who they were. So it's all the non-Franks.
Yeah, it's all non-Franks, actually. Okay. Non-Franks who like pies.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we going to – one last time before we get into our first email question. The phone number to call us live, ask a question, 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310 or email jim@jimhelps.com.
Right, and even though we have about 10 emails today to go through, and I it's really more like eight. Two of the people who emailed me were local people who had already known me and worked with me, and they didn't necessarily email because they had a radio show question. But we got about eight emails, except for one in Denver. All seven were iTunians. Hmm. So they were from all over the country. So we do want people to know, especially those listening to us off of iTunes, we are more than happy to try to answer your questions. And I just want to lay a little bit of the groundwork on this. We generally will not answer a specific question in an email directed right to you. There's a variety of reasons for it, both regulatory and time constraint-wise. Because we don't have an actual planning relationship, we can't really start giving advice, especially within another year with the new DOL rule on restrictions on what type of advice we can give to people with IRA accounts. It's going to be really weird in another year, not only on this show, but in the industry itself. They're really restricting what we can say to people. So we don't generally reach out to people and specifically answer their question unless it's straightforward. Do I have to take required minimum distributions after age 70 and a half? It's a fairly straightforward answer. But if there's
somehow you'd spin that into about three paragraphs, though.
Oh, I could easily, yeah. Yeah, I could do a whole show on that. Mm-hmm. Want to see?
Yeah, no.
Or we may email you asking for more clarity, which I had to do with that first email question we'll get to from a woman in Iowa. I needed a little more clarity, so I emailed her. Most of the time I'll email people, and it could take several days, but I'll email them back, thank you, we will get to your question, and I hope to get it on this show, and I'll let them know what show it may play on. But of course, there's no guarantee we can get to it at that point. But we will try to answer all questions because they make great fodder for the radio show. Mm-hmm. And if you're on iTunes listening on a regular basis, we'll eventually get to your question and you'll hear it played or answered, rather.
Excellent.
So that said, before we do get to the woman from Iowa, I do want to take one quick moment, which for me means about 5 minutes, and talk brief. Don't frown.
I'm not.
That was a frown.
I was wincing.
That was not a wince. Would you like to skip this whole section?
I'm not sure what you're going to say.
I just wanted...
It's what I think you're going to say, it's going to take longer than 5 minutes.
Oh, the market volatility.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could take a little more than 5 minutes. But let me just say my piece here. We are a retirement and IRA show. We call it, but we do retirement planning. That's what we specialize in. So it's important, those of you who are pre-retirees or post-retirees, and by pre, we believe in our office when you get to within a decade of retirement, you're in the pre-retirement phase. We call it the transitional phase. You're moving from a period of time where you are accumulating assets and approaching a period of time where you will be consuming your assets.
And getting all the pieces in place are particularly critical at that point. Plus, you're close enough to retiring that... The landscape is a little more clear, what we can see, what we can anticipate. When you're 20, it's hard to predict what you're going to be doing at 65. But if you're 55, we're going to have a pretty good idea of your situation and what the laws are at the time and that sort of thing.
Correct. So it definitely gives us a lot more clarity to work with people within a decade of retirement. We've had younger people come in and want to work with us, and we do, but in a different capacity. We usually tell them we'll work with you on a consultative basis, perhaps billing you by the hour for a little bit of work here and there as you need it. But we certainly don't do a retirement analysis for someone who's going to retire in 15 or 20 years. It's just a waste of their money and a waste of our time. There's too much that's going to happen. But when you get to within a decade, and especially as it starts counting down from 10 to 9 to 8 to 7 to 6 to 5 and gets to single digits and you're getting close to that time, we have to start doing planning there. I often say, how can I tell you what to do with your money until I know what your money has to do for you? Okay, so everybody understands those concepts. But I want to talk specifically about the volatility we saw in the equity markets this week. As Chris and I talked together on the way in, you know, a lot of hubbub was being made in the news because the news just loves uncertainty. They love conflict.
They love a story because it makes it easy to write for the show that day.
Right. So they really hyped up the vote in Britain to leave the European Union. Now, I'm not disputing that the European Union is in trouble. Europe has negative interest rates. Negative interest rates, folks. You think it's hard getting a return in this country because the 10-year bond this week hit 1.56%, I think it was. That's 1.5% on a 10-year government bond. You used to be able to get that. Heck, you could get five times that much in a bank savings account years ago. Today, you have to buy a 10-year government bond to get 1.5%. Try being in Europe. It's negative. You give your money to a European government, especially the European Union bonds, and even the German Bund, that's what they call their bonds. Their bonds, their 10-year bond hit negative last week. It's negative in Sweden, Switzerland, and Denmark. It spread to Asia, Japan, earlier this year went negative on their interest rates. This is a screwed up world we live in right now. But it's so hard in this country and overseas to get safe returns. So people need to take risk if they want any type of return that can at least keep pace with inflation. And not the inflation the government tells you, because they tell you it's pretty much non-existent. But everybody knows, especially retirees, the CPI measure. The CPI that they tie Social Security increases to, 5% of that is healthcare expenses. But for retirees, 15 to 20% of their expenses can be dedicated to healthcare. So a retiree's rate of inflation is far different than the general rate of inflation they're pegging Social Security to. So in order to get returns on your investments, you either have to take risk, which scares a lot of people, or you have to consume assets. You have to spend your money. Years ago, when my grandparents were retiring, it was all about CDs. I remember my Nana, Chris. I didn't know what the heck she was talking about back then about CDs. My God, she would talk about them like it was Christmas time. Oh, I'm going to the bank. My CD's maturing. And it was a big thing for them back then. I remember this growing up in the 70s. And it was her CDs. She's going to go get a new CD. And they paid 8, 9, 10% back then. And that's how she lived. They lived on the interest on the CD. You can't do that today. So people need to take risk. And then something like this week, or this past week, happens, and it sends the markets in a tizzy, and the media jumps on this. Well, I just want to point out, for the entire week, as Chris pointed out, what did you say earlier about what happened earlier in the week and gave it all up?
Well, the lead up to the Brexit vote is what we're talking about here in England. The day before, there were big gains in the market as they leading up to this in anticipation that they were going to decide to stay. Then when it comes out they decided to leave, there was the significant correction that day, not what we see in other what we saw in other countries, because the United States was still kind of seen as a safe haven. But we gave up 3-ish% or so. But when you look at the whole week,
we were mostly just
giving back the gains that had happened in the days leading up to it.
For the week, we were down 1.8%.
Right.
And
so,
if you can't handle that type of 1.8% loss in a week, you shouldn't invest. So this is what I want to talk about. We mentioned it on the radio before. Not one client called us on Friday, which I was surprised. I thought there were going to be a few who would have called. Mm-hmm. No one did. Mm-hmm. And it's because we believe vehemently, vehemently, folks, in what we call retirement allocation. If you are more than 10 years from retirement, you don't need to worry about this. If you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and even 50s, if you were intending to work to your 70s, what happened this week, and especially Friday, is a sale. It's nothing to panic about. If you don't need your money for 10, 20, 30 years, it's a sale when you see this type of volatility. You're just buying at lower prices. It amazes me, Chris, amazes me that people saving and investing, not the people in retirement or near retirement, I'm talking about younger folk right now, that they panic when the market's going down and they want to sell the investments in their 401k. Yet these same people would fall all over themselves if their favorite pair of shoes is on sale 50% off, or if an iPhone is 20% off, or if your favorite pound of coffee at the grocery store is 5% off. You don't think twice about buying that. Oh my God, these are a sale. If I don't buy them, the price is going to what? Eventually go back up when the sale is over. Equities, stocks, seems to be the only item you can purchase that people insist on paying full price for. I have no shortage of people walking through the office when equities are reaching an all-time high. Yeah, I'd like you to help me buy some stocks. But nobody walks into the office when they're down 30% and say, yeah, I'd like you to help me buy some stocks. That is insanity, but that's how people think. Mm-hmm. Because as humans, we fall victim to normalcy bias, confirmation bias, framing bias, we call it. Framing is where you frame what's happening right now in the context of today and project what's happening today is going to happen forever. They call it framing because you look at a picture in a frame, that picture doesn't change. I mean, nowadays they could with electronic frames, but a regular painted picture doesn't change. Everything that's happening in that picture is happening now and forever. So when equities are going up, they think they're going to go up forever. When equities are going down, they think they're going to go down forever. It's these human emotions that get you into trouble. So if you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, or even 50s, if you are more than 10 years from retirement, preferably if you are more than 15 or 20 years, what's happening is a sale. Don't panic. Don't even worry about it. But let's bring it up to people who normally call and work with us, those who are retired or pre-retirees in that transitional phase. You need to create risk capacity. Chris and I have talked about risk capacity before. Everyone hops on risk tolerance. We generally don't care about your risk tolerance. Now, I don't mean to sound callous. We have to pay attention to risk tolerance, but it's not our driving factor. Risk capacity is, and we teach people how to create it. Risk capacity refers to the ability or what would happen if your portfolio fell a significant amount. Would you have to change your lifestyle? So obviously, if you were in retirement and living off of your assets, a 2% drop in a week could scare you. A 10% drop in a month, or God forbid, another 52% drop in a year and a half like we had in 08, 09. That would really devastate you. Not too many people can handle a 30, 40, 50% drop in their portfolio, Chris.
And not have it affect what they're doing in their financial lives.
Exactly.
Unless someone has, in that case, they would have to have tremendous risk capacity to absorb that and not really alter their life path.
Exactly. So we believe in what we call a retirement allocation. And we start helping people position this usually within a decade or less of retirement and help them carry it through their retirement. And a retirement and allocation is really a type of asset allocation, but just on steroids. We get people to understand and look at their portfolio differently and segment it into buckets, we call them. You will have a cash or liquidity bucket. So if you are thinking you're within a decade or 5 years of retirement, but you may be a little unsure, a lot of people we work with are unsure if they're going to be able to keep their job until retirement. They don't know if they're going to get laid off or downsized. You need to start building 1-2 years worth of cash that you would need if you are forcefully retired. We're working with a person now in our office who is laid off at age 62. She wanted to work to 66. She shared with me, and we've talked about her before, and I just met her again this week. And this week, she confirmed the same thing. She said, "Jim, I don't know if I'm retired or laid off." And that's telling because she didn't want to stop working. And she's panicking a little because she has to spend money. Now, she did have a significant cash holding before she got laid off, so it really helped her. But what we get people to understand who didn't have that ability that this woman had, she had on her own built some cash, you need to stop positioning some of your assets in cash. And I get it, people. It doesn't pay much. Right now, safety doesn't pay. You can thank the federal government and you can thank pretty much every global banking system. The Federal Reserve, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, the European Central Bank, they're all in cahoots to keep interest rates low. But it is what it is. Put some money in cash. That's bucket one. Bucket two, that's your safety account. You would want investments in there that guarantee principal. You can use bank CDs, and I agree it's very difficult in a 401k to buy a bank CD, if not impossible. And bank CDs don't pay anything. But if you have a 401k, look inside it. Every 401k has a cash-like option. They go by different names. I don't want to mention them because in compliance has a tizzy fit. They think I'm pushing something. So I'm not going to mention them by names. But talk to your 401k providers. Ask them what the secure account in your 401k is. And what you should have in bucket two is enough money to survive another 2 or 3 years. You see where I'm going with this, people? You have some money in cash, some money in principal protection. These types of holdings don't earn much, maybe 1, 2%, but your money is 100% protected. Bucket three, we call your investment pool. But you see the capacity now? There's a fight on TV tonight on CBS. I forget who. I was watching the news in the morning, and they were featuring this 27-year-old who's fighting. Really neat guy. Oh, we have to take a break.
Well, not just when you finish your thought here.
So, well, I saw a little break sign. But anyways, they showed him sparring, and when he was being punched in the stomach, all his muscles were just moving. That's capacity, Chris. His soft inner is protected by his hard muscles, so he has a capacity to handle a hit. We just did the same thing for your portfolio, folks. If your investments is bucket three and the big fist coming at you is market volatility, it's got to push through bucket one, which is a couple of years of cash. It's got to push through bucket two, which is a few more years of principal protection. You see how we're moving and designing this. So now your investment portfolio can handle the volatility. And you're not going to be freaking out and panicking if another European country decides to vote to go back to their own independence and get out of the union, or there's a terrorist attack, or interest rates go even further into the red on negativity, or whatever the case may be that's causing equities to drop. You've developed that capacity, folks. So pay attention to retirement allocation. If you position your portfolio well, If you put the risk capacity in, you will be able to take more investment risk than even your risk tolerance may think you can handle. Because if your portfolio is down 20%, but you know I have 5, 6, sometimes we develop risk capacity for people, Chris, with 10 to 12 years of capacity. And then they turn around and buy a moderately aggressive or aggressive portfolio. That's how you have to do it today, folks. The ability to do what my grandmother, my Nana did, go out and get an 8% bank CD, is over. And it isn't coming back anytime soon. Not with negative interest rates. And in my opinion, interest rates in this country will someday be negative. It's going to be a cold day you know where before you can do that. So you're going to have to take some risk with your money, but do it smartly so you don't panic like people were doing on Friday. Okay, I'm done. Told you, 5 minutes.
Perfect. Yeah, whatever. So we are to the we can take our first break. If you have a question, we've got our phone number live and ready for your calls at 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. When we come back from this break, we're going to hear one of the top songs from 1935, which happens to be the year Social Security started. Here is your hint. This hit is a Latin-sounding tune that found its way to becoming a staple of Warner Brothers cartoons anytime there was a female character dressed in red. The wheels are turning already with Jim.
I'm trying to remember my cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. So we will hear what that is right after this short break. Well, welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. We are hearing The Lady in Red with lyrics by Mort Dixon, composed by Ali Rubel of Zippity Doodah fame from Song of the South, the Zippity Doodah song. Also wrote that. There are many versions of this song done in 1935. The one played here was performed by Xavier Cugat and his orchestra. This tune was featured in the 1935 film In Caliente.
I don't remember it from Warner Brothers.
I think there were just little cartoons. Snippets of it. Might have been a little further into the song that they played.
Every time I hear The Lady in Red, I think of the woman who sold out John Dillinger. Remember that story? She was wearing red so the police knew who to shoot. Apparently you don't follow Mary.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was kind of a
they were at the movie theater
there.
And right. She was wearing a red dress.
In order to
know who Dillinger was.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So don't wear –
if you're going out on a date and she's wearing red, leave.
Yeah. Bulletproof vest. We actually have a caller that came in
during the
break, a real caller. So we're going to go to that right away. So we reward people for calling in. This will be the first person that gets entered into our pie drawing, hopefully.
First person who called in a month.
We're going to go to Georgette in Greeley. Good morning, Georgette.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
What can we help you with?
Got a question. I have an adult – son who was in fugitive recovery and law enforcement and all kinds of traumatic things. He now has post-traumatic stress and a psychological disorder. What is the best way for him to pursue Social Security disability?
That's an interesting question. Sorry to hear your son's having those troubles. We've got we do a lot of Social Security here. Social Security disability is kind of its own animal, has its own rules. It can be quite difficult to obtain. The general rule that most people experience with Social Security disability is you apply on your own at first, and there's the Social Security office can help you with that to make that initial application. But most of the time, that initial application is denied unless there is an absolutely – they do have a list, and I've seen the list. There's a list of certain conditions that kind of grant automatic approval. However, it's very restrictive, and if you're not clearly one of those – they essentially deny it and force you through the appeals process. That right. appeals process is very lengthy. I know someone who just is at the end of that appeals process, and it's taken them over 2 years. Their right. original denial was back in February of 2014, and they're just getting to the end of the tunnel on this one. So it takes a very long time. If you're ultimately approved, they do provide benefits back to the day that you were once they determine your date of eligibility, they do pay back to then, but for that time period, that 2 years, you're not receiving the benefits. Now,
right.
I have heard of people navigating that process on their own, but the way the system is set up, it really is set up for people to be getting help from a legal person. A lawyer
right.
That specializes in this. You don't want just anybody. There's such specialized rules here that you should find someone that is a specialist in this. Although I think almost all of them would agree that you may as well apply on your own first.
Get rejection.
In case you know it works out. But then once you get denied, then they will go to work for you and start you through that process. The other thing I've found is that the Social Security Disability System has a schedule of payment for these lawyers, so they get paid kind of all the same, if I understand correctly. So you really should just find who you, through a little research, who has the best reviews and maybe ask some people for recommendations. I don't have any specific recommendations to make here.
Okay.
But I do know there are a couple of specialty Social Security disability attorneys in Northern Colorado. There's quite a few in the Denver area.
Yeah, a little
bit of
Google.
There's not a simple answer.
You may
want
to Google it, but once your son is denied, and we're just assuming he will because most people are,
sure.
that is the end where you down file the appeal and the attorneys help you go through the appeal. As Chris said, you could do it on your own, but it may be easier. That's why these attorneys exist, and their whole business practice is helping people navigate. If it was easy, there wouldn't be a whole cadre of attorneys offering this service.
Mm-hmm.
So it can take up to 2 years, but as Chris said, your son will get everything he's entitled to if he is finally approved, but it's going to take a little while, and that's what he's going to have to do.
Mm-hmm. And just so maybe as a continuation of your question so other people know as well, if he is ultimately approved for Social Security disability, he will collect that. That can start at any age. Once he reaches his full retirement age, which I don't know how old he is, but it'll
he's only 53.
Okay, if he's only 53, it's going to be 67 most likely. Once he reaches that age, it just naturally will turn into his retirement benefit. So Social Security disability essentially stops at your full retirement age, and it turns into automatically your retirement, your Social Security retirement pay.
Now, can it drop if his PIA is less than his Social Security disability?
Those are connected values. Those okay. numbers are almost identical. Essentially what they're doing, and it's not precisely this, but if you look on your Social Security statement, you'll see that the Social Security disability payment is about the same as your PIA. So essentially what they do is they agree to pay you your PIA early if you are disabled, and then it turns into it. And it's usually within just a percent or two. It's never exactly the same dollar amount because it is figured a little bit
differently. So it's really just an accounting move in the books of the government because the Social Security retirement benefit pool is totally separate from the disability benefit pool.
Correct.
So they're switching the payments from the disability benefit pool to the retirement benefit pool,
right.
but it's not affecting the benefit.
The amount that comes out.
Okay,
yeah.
That all makes sense.
Yep.
Well, again, if your son has already applied and has been denied, then the next step is the appeal. If he hasn't, he should at least start applying and get that process going. But make sure you tell him he's probably going to be denied. But fill in the paperwork accurately and correctly. And once the denial happens, you may want to start consulting with an attorney.
Okay. And is there how would you – we're fairly new in the area. I've only been here a number – 4 or 5 years. How would you determine the attorney, because, I mean, you get, you know, 101
yeah.
attorneys advertised.
Where are you in the Greeley area?
In Greeley. Uh-huh. In Greeley.
It, Why don't you email me at chris@jimhelps.com. That's chris@jimhelps.com. And I can give you a couple suggestions.
Great.
I don't feel
you.
Comfortable. I don't I don't know them well enough to make a public announcement of an endorsement on the radio, but I can at least give you a little bit to work with instead of starting from scratch.
Great. Thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
That's it. Have a good day.
Perfect. You have a good day as well. Okay. So we do, just for everyone else, we do occasionally run across a few Social Security disability questions, but that system, that program is completely different and separate from the Social Security retirement system. So we specialize in that. The disability rules, that would take us probably as long as it took us to learn the Social Security retirement system, we'd have to dedicate at least that amount of time to do the other, to the disability. And we've chosen not to because there's already specialists in that area. And so, you know, if it's a basic question like we covered here, we can usually handle it. But anything more complicated than that, we're going to refer you out to somebody who specializes in that particular area. So just like that caller, you can call us and ask us a question live today. We are live in the studio. The number is 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. And email too. Don't forget email. That counts as well. We're monitoring our email live today. That email address is jim@jimhelps.com. That's jim@jimhelps.com. So Jim has disappeared under the table trying to plug his headphones back in, I believe. You can't find it?
I can't find the plug, so I get no headphones.
You have no headphones? Well, you don't need them. You can still talk.
I can hear.
I'll plug them in while you talk.
Well, if we have a caller, we're done.
That's fine, but we're still waiting to get to the Iowan.
Okay.
You've teased everyone now for almost an hour.
I have. I found the email of the gentleman in Denver. Are we going to enter him into the pie drawing now or in the month that we actually answer his question?
No, when we actually answer the question.
Okay.
I think. We're going to enter him in. Yeah, we'll enter him in because it's not his fault that we're going to delay the answer.
Okay. Well, the end of his email goes, P.S., I'm in Denver, so please enter me in the pie drawing so I can find out if they are as good as you say.
So I just need a first name to put him in the pie drawing.
Well, we can't. He calls himself George.
Just what I always wanted, my own little bunny rabbit. I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
I'm not a bunny rabbit.
We'll call him George.
We'll call him George for the drawing, but then
George
if he wins.
He gave me his real name.
Okay, we'll connect it. So in case he didn't want us to even utter his first name on the radio, we'll call him George.
Well, I don't think
now.
It's wrong, the first name. We won't utter his last name. Do you want to know his first
That's
name?
That's what we always do for people is the first name. So what's his first name?
Tom.
Okay. Tom is an entry into the pie drawing.
Okay.
Now, Georgette, I'm going to put her down too because I believe Adrian got her contact information, so I forgot to ask her real first name. So we're going to call her Georgette. So she's entered, and Tom has entered. We have two entrants. Still good odds.
We'll get to Tom's email
next
time.
Yes. So you're going to share with us the
Iowan. Yes, the Iowan. Okay, so we got an email from a woman in Iowa. We actually got a series of emails from her because we needed more information to answer her question. I'm going to let Chris do most of the answering here because she does reference Chris and something he said. Did you get it plugged back in?
Should be.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the plug's on your side. That's why I couldn't find it.
No, it's on your side.
Oh, it is?
It's just aiming my way. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Perfect.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so she writes.
Did you tell him that this is our first caller or contact from Iowa?
Yes, this is our first Iowan.
Iowan. So we'll be adding a star to the map. Did you already say that?
No.
Okay, good. I was under the table fixing your headphones. So
we also got someone that Chris will have to answer their question from, but I like the way he did it. He said it's an estate planning question.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in, I believe it was, North Carolina. And he said, you already have a star on North Carolina. But the person who died lived in South Carolina. And this involved them. So he's told you to go ahead and
put
a star
on South
Carolina.
Okay, that seems fair.
Yeah. So we got a North Carolinian writing about a deceased South Carolinian.
Got it.
Okay.
I wonder if they fought in the war.
They would be on the same side. North and South Carolina were on the same side.
They were?
Yes. Apparently you don't know U.S. history.
So where was the line?
What line?
Between the North and the South for the fighting, the Union and the
Pretty much around the Virginia-Maryland area. Maryland never went over to the Confederacy, but there was a lot of...
So the Carolinas were both in the South.
Both Carolinas were in the South, yes.
See,
and Virginia
North.
Was in the South. Now, you know how West Virginia was formed. The northern part of Virginia did not want to secede. So
secede, not succeed.
Whatever. They didn't want to break away from the Union.
Mm-hmm.
So they became West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. So back to Iowa.
Well, you're the one who started. Okay, so she writes, I am an iTunian listener from Iowa and follow your radio show. I love the call-in questions, but unfortunately cannot call during the same Saturday time period. And that's why she emailed us.
She probably has her own radio show at that time. She can't call in.
I don't know. She didn't say.
Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you. I have a question about the widow Social Security benefits. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, I thought I heard Chris say that the law change last fall removed the income limitation on this benefit. Is that true or did I hear wrong? Now, before you jump in and answer that part, she continues. I am a widow who will turn 60 in the next 2 months, and I work full time. I have been widowed 13 years. And prior to being a widow, she writes, I had an earlier marriage which ended in divorce after 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know, how do I find out which husband's benefit would be the highest? She says, I'm a little leery making an appointment to talk with Social Security as I don't want to mess things up for my future payments. I want to let my benefit grow until I am 70. And she signed it, Georgette. Now, there was obviously questions I needed to ask her. You probably know this, Chris. So I wrote back to her, and I wanted to know if she was still working and how much she was earning, if she definitely wanted to let her benefits grow to 70. And she wrote, yes, I work full-time and want to work 2 more years. Then I plan to live on my pension and investments until 70, thereby letting my personal Social Security benefit continue to compound.
Mm-hmm.
And you can explain what that means. And then she writes, my annual salary is $60,000 to $70,000. I was hoping to collect my widow's benefit even during the last 2 of my working years. If indeed I am not subject to income restrictions. So why don't you take over and answer? A lot of moving parts.
Yeah, so are we calling her Georgette number 2?
Well, yeah, but she's not in the pie drawing. She's in Iowa. She's not going to drive all the way to Greeley to
get so I'll remove her from the pie drawing.
You actually put her in the pie drawing.
Well, I got all excited about more people getting in the drawing.
Remove that, Georgette. She's in Iowa.
Okay, no problem. First of all, the... income limitation, what she's referring to there is the earnings test, which is applied to you at any time before your full retirement age. Whether it's the widow's benefit or your own retirement benefit or a spousal benefit, you are subject to the earnings test until the month you reach your full retirement age. So if the wording I used or whether I misspoke or she misheard me, That has not gone away. And there's no talk about that going away. I wouldn't expect that ever to go away. So she will be subject to the earnings test over the next 2 years as she continues to work. And she's earning enough, and that's why Jim asked her how much money she made, that essentially any benefit she might be owed at age 60 will be completely wiped out by the earnings test. So there's that issue. So,
and briefly, though, it is – possible. I don't know. The last year of work. Oh, wait a minute. She's doing it before 62.
Right.
Never mind. Right. Scratch that.
Yeah, so she's got a long way to
go.
So the rest of this, there's enough moving parts here. We need to talk about kind of the coordination of widow's benefits versus retirement benefits and ex-spousal benefits. So she has three things going on here. She has access to a widow's benefit. She has access to a spousal benefit from her ex-spouse. And she is eligible for her own retirement benefit. And she's asking some coordination
questions. She's got the trifecta of Social Security
there. She does. And so we'll have to weed through that a little bit more when we get back from this next break here. So at least we know the question. If you have a call or if you have a question, we'll be more than happy to put our talk here on pause so you can call us. When we get back, we're going to hear the number one song from 40 years ago this week. And this week's song is Still Flying High on Tireless Wings. That is a terrible, terrible hint.
Flying High on
Tireless Wings? Wings, yeah. So we'll find out what that is after we come back from this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show. Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number one song 40 years ago this week as we look back at some important events or times or time frames, if you will, with the Social Security system. After the first break, we took a listen to a song from 1935 when Social Security was created. This is back 40 years ago to tie into what Social Security refers to as 40 elapsed years, which is one of the numbers that goes into ultimately after several additional steps getting to your retirement benefit. But that song most people recognize has actually been number one more than 1 week. That is Silly Love Songs by Paul McCartney. The extra tidbit of information on that this week that Tina dug up, Paul McCartney wanted to include his whole band to participate in the fun of creating this song. He allowed the horn section of his band Wings to create their own part for this song. So this was really Paul McCartney with some wings in there, but I don't think Wings got any top line credit. I don't think they were there, but kind of like Prince did the same thing. Prince had a band called The Revolution. And a lot of times Prince was there with the Revolution, but it was just called Prince. If I was in the Revolution, I would have been hurt, as I would have been if I were a wing. Right?
I suppose.
Okay. So back to our – any other comments before we get back to Iowa?
Negative.
I feel like we're – oh, I guess let's get back to Kansas from Wizard of Oz. Aren't they connected, though? Aren't they kind of one big area?
Yeah, Iowa and
Not
Kansas.
That I'm gonna
I don't think
Iowa,
you can tell the difference between
I would
the
like
of them.
To know, how did Nebraska end up with the term Cornhusker? I would think there's just as much corn in Iowa, or even
Kansas. Well, they're the Buckeyes, aren't they?
That's Ohio.
Oh, so what is Iowa?
Hawkeyes.
Oh, the Hawkeyes.
But that's, yeah, Hawkeyes. But I'm not sure that's how that's referring to
their, What's a Hawkeye?
The people. Like
is that
people
a bird?
Who live in Nebraska. A lot of times refer to themselves
Didn't
as
we have
huskers.
This conversation before, and a Hawkeye's not really a bird. It had something to
no,
do with
No, that's a Jayhawk.
That's a Jayhawk.
Jayhawk. There's no such thing as a Jayhawk.
Okay.
Hawkeye, well, on MASH there was one, but other than that, I'm not sure. Do we have to look that up? I hope not.
No.
I'd rather answer
Maybe
her question.
Maybe our Itunian, waiting for her answer, will let us know why they call themselves the Hawkeyes.
Perfect. Back to her question. To summarize, she wrote in, asked us a question about Social Security benefits. She qualifies for a widow's benefit because she was married for 13 years before losing her spouse. Prior to that marriage, she was married for 14 years and then divorced. So from that, she actually qualifies for what's called an ex-spousal benefit, which is the same kind of benefit as if she were still married to that person because she met the be married at least 10 years rule. Then she also has her own earned retirement benefit. So she has all three of these. She's about to turn 60 and was asking some questions first. And the little question I answered before the break, is the earnings test applicable to widow's benefits? And that this absolutely is. The earnings test is in place until you reach the age of full retirement age, which for her would be 66, I believe. We're getting close to the time when it's going to start changing, going up in two-month increments until it reaches 67. But I believe she's still at 66. Prior to that, if you have earnings over about $15,480 in the year 2016, I believe that's the 2016 number, every dollar you earn over that, you're going to lose 50 cents worth of your Social Security benefit. Or you can think of it as every $2 you earn over that amount, you'll lose a dollar of your Social Security benefit. And she earned well in excess of the $15,000. So she will be, over the next 2 years when she intends to keep working, she will be subject to the earnings test if she turns on any of these benefits. Moving on from there, though, her goal was to delay her own benefit, filing for her own benefit until age 70 in order to maximize the monthly amount. Now, she has other resources. She has other assets. She has other pensions, actually, included in her email. But she wants to kind of do this coordination between widow's benefits, spousal, ex-spousal benefits. And the next question she had past, does the earnings test apply, was, how do I find out what my widow's benefit and my ex-spousal benefit are from these two husbands that she had in the past, to know which one is better and which one she should be pursuing. And the only way to do that is to contact Social Security. And she was hesitant to do so, and I think it's because a lot of people have heard that when you contact them, they essentially start the process of claiming for you. And they do this – they're trying to help you. What they're trying to do is when you call and inquire about claiming, they set that as the day they – kind of open the application so that if you then in the next few months decide to claim, they can backdate it to that day. So they're trying to help you. That doesn't mean that they're going to automatically file for benefits for you. That kind of provisional application that they start for you expires for the most part in most cases after 6 months and it just kind of goes away. You can also cancel it, telling them, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to file early. I'm going to wait until later. So you shouldn't be afraid to talk to them. Just know that you need to make it clear that you're just asking information and you are not intending to file anytime soon. And with that, say the ex-spouse benefit. That's one she mentioned, I believe, in a part of the email you didn't read on air, that she didn't want to contact her ex to find out what the benefit would be. You don't have to. All you do is call the Social Security office or make an appointment to see them and ask them for what will my ex-spousal benefit be, and you give them the information about your ex-husband. And they will answer for you what your benefit will be under his record. They don't contact him. They don't alert him. There's no effect upon him. This is something that you have the right to claim, and it's a relationship between you and Social Security directly, doesn't involve your ex-spouse at all, and they will provide you that information. It's best if you have some details about him, date of birth, Social Security number, legal name. With that kind of information, you would be able to obtain the spousal benefit amount. What they won't tell you, before Jim says something, he's on the verge of saying something.
On the verge.
They won't tell you his benefit. That's his deal with Social Security. That's his private information, and they won't share that. But they will share with you what your spousal benefit might be.
The only thing I wanted to have you answer for her, she seems reluctant to contact them because she's worried. She wants to delay her benefit to 70. She doesn't want to jeopardize that. Why don't you address that little bit of concern that she has? I think I know what it's about.
I spent approximately a minute and a half talking about that while you were reading.
Oh, you covered all that. Wow.
I did.
I was reading the next email question.
No
Perhaps
problem.
I should keep my headphones on and listen.
No problem. I like the way you think. I did cover that.
Oh,
so
see?
I talked that she shouldn't be afraid.
I was looking out
yes.
for it.
Perfect.
Very good. You did good. Continue on.
Thank you. So the what she is going to fall under is she's got some restrictions as far as claiming. So let's say she does not file at 60 because she's still working until 62, she said. And because of her earnings, any benefit she might claim is going to be wiped out. So there's not really much advantage to claiming. There occasionally is a reason to claim, even though your benefit will be wiped out if you are married. If there's a spousal issue in there, we might see sometimes a reason for a person to claim, even though their own benefit is going to be wiped out, in order to unlock the door for their spouse to claim. That's not the case here. She's single. So let's assume at 62, then, she goes in to file, and she can file for a widow's benefit. She could file for a spousal benefit or her own benefit. However, she cannot pick between her spousal and her own. So if she decides to go that direction, spousal benefits and retirement benefits essentially kind of come out of one program at Social Security. Widows or survivor benefits come out of a different program. So you can file for a widow's benefit, for instance, and not touch your spousal or your own retirement benefit and have them not affect each other. You cannot now reach into the retirement bucket and claim your spousal benefit without them deeming you as receiving your own benefit first and then only paying you additional if the spousal benefit would increase your payment.
And that would prevent
her. That would prevent her from delaying her own benefit to 70. So really, she only has two choices here. She doesn't really have three. She has two. She can either claim her own benefit early and then switch to her survivor benefit later, or she could claim her survivor benefit early and switch to her own benefit later. That second way, for most people, is the preferable way. But she didn't include any numbers for us. So there are cases where either of these options might turn out to be the optimal choice for her. So she has a complicated enough situation. If she were sitting here or on the phone live, I would recommend highly that she do one of our Social Security optimization programs that runs, and you've probably heard it on the ads on the show here, $75. And we will take all of this information, her actual earnings, her actual benefits from all these different sources, plug it into this sophisticated system that runs through every possible claiming scenario, and it will then show us the best choices, and then she can take that information and feel more informed when she actually goes to pursue a claim at Social Security. So I think this is a test case, or at least a perfect case for someone who
Well, yes,
who
the trifecta, like we said, yeah. She's eligible for three different benefits.
Right. And then she also included, we're not going to share it all on the air here, but she included information about some pensions and being interested in a QLAC.
And Roth conversions. And she has a lot of other moving parts. So, again, an option is to try to find someone in your local area and talk with them who specialize in retirement planning like we do. Or you can always schedule a coffee and a second opinion phone call. We can't actually give you a coffee, but we'll mail you a Keurig pod if you'd like and make your own cup of coffee. But you can chat with us also over the phone about some of the other things. I don't want to get into the other items she wrote on here because there's not enough information, Chris, in the other parts of her email for us to really do her any justice and answer it. But she did allude to the fact that she was considering converting her IRA to a Roth IRA between 62 and 70, which is a very good strategy in the right situation because it will alleviate the necessity to get required minimum distributions. She also indicated that longevity is in her blood, so to speak. Her parents are in their 80s. Their parents, her grandparents, lived into their 90s. She feels she'll live a very long time, so that Roth strategy could be a viable strategy. Mm-hmm. She also has three other forms of pension income. She's got a lot of moving parts, and she was wondering if a QLAC, your favorite topic, would be able to help her. I remember that's a qualified longevity annuity contract. It's a special annuity created by the Department of Treasury a few years ago that allow people to put up to 25% of the value of their IRA into and exempt it from required minimum distributions until age 85. So there's all sorts of moving parts she was talking about there, and we wouldn't be able to answer the rest of those fairly for her over the radio. So she really should consult with someone. That could be us or somebody locally. But as Chris said, optimizing her Social Security could also be beneficial because we don't have the actual numbers. So we couldn't really say you may want to evaluate this over the other thing. But she has the trifecta of Social Security. We talked about health savings accounts recently. We want to do a show on those. We call them the trifecta of tax planning. Well, she has the trifecta of Social Security.
Right.
Her own benefit, a survivor benefit, and a spousal benefit.
All on the table.
All on the table. Mm-hmm. If she got disabled, it would be the only other thing she could do.
True. True. When we're not
And we're not advocating
her.
That. No, don't go out and get disabled.
Nor hoping for that to happen. No. But that is the one extra piece.
So there's a little bit more to these her other questions and even this question that can be answered over the radio on a free radio show. But you may want to consider optimizing your Social Security or getting a little more information and get a clearer picture of her situation. I think with some of the items she wrote in her email to us, Chris, I think she'll be okay for retirement. You and I were remarking on that based on her pensions and savings and strategies. But we wouldn't know for sure without doing a little more in-depth analysis. And we obviously couldn't do that over the radio.
And even though you might find someone, maybe you know a neighbor or a friend, and they've got all kinds of pensions, they've got Social Security, they've got a nice nest egg, and you're thinking, oh yeah, they have it made. They've got it. True, you can have it made, but make a positive difference in your lifestyle and your ability to do things, the ability to access spendable cash with some planning, particularly tax planning, because the one thing, no matter how much you've saved, how much earnings you have, how many income sources you might have, taxes are always the bogey that's out there. And intelligently choosing when to turn on certain income, when to claim, when to distribute assets from certain accounts, that sort of thing, has an effect on the overall taxes you pay in retirement. And why pay more taxes than you have to? Because if you, any money you send to the government, unless you just like sending it to them. You know, I will admit there's some people write checks all the time. Go ahead. Send as much money as you want. But if any money you send there is money you can't spend. So even if you've, quote, got it made, there are still positive differences you can make.
Absolutely.
If you coordinate with somebody who knows how to
absolutely.
How to,
there are ways to do a lot, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, she would be a candidate to, in my opinion, get a little more information, hire someone or work with someone. And we also want to throw out there, very rarely do we actually talk to people and let them know we do this for a living. So we also run a business that's my practice, hence the name Jim Helps. Chris has been partnering and working with me now. God, it seems like forever. But
it does seem like forever.
What are we up to now? 8, 9 years? I mean, you had hair when you walked in.
I think it'll be 9 years in this.
You look like one of those 80s rock bands when you first walked in.
Yeah.
Long hair down to your shoulders.
Like Twisted Sister. Yeah.
But
curly.
We do this for a living, and we can counsel people throughout the United States.
Unless you're in
Texas or Louisiana.
Texas or Louisiana, right.
So unfortunately, because I own what is called a registered investment advisory firm, an RIA, for financial planning only, and then I use a corporate RIA for asset management, we can work with people in other states. The financial planning aspect is regulated at the state level. I'm regulated in the state of Colorado. But there is a rule by the SEC that says a registered investment advisor can have up to five potential or actually not potential, but five clients in any state before having to register
at
in that
time.
State at a
five
time.
Five at a time. Mm-hmm.
Correct. So it's called the de minimis rule. And we have some consultants who work with us on our RIA, and they told us you really have 48 states because for some reason Texas and Louisiana have a weird rule that kind of throws the de minimis exemption upside down, and they said it just doesn't work. So he cautioned us, don't take on a Texas or Louisiana client unless you want to register in those states. And registration for insurance, if we were going to do insurance, is very easy because most states are reciprocal. But for investment advisory and financial planning, it's a nightmare. And it's a nightmare I just don't feel like adopting right now.
So nothing against people from Texas or Louisiana.
We'll answer your question
you all,
on the radio.
Right?
We can do that.
We can engage on the radio.
But we will not do a coffee and a second opinion and actually have you hire us. But
unless you bring, I don't know, 200 or 300 of your friends with you for financial
if you
planning,
make it worth
registering, we'll go for it.
Then I will go for it. So I actually am registered in Texas for investment advice, but that's through the corporate RIA. So it's odd. I know I'm confusing people. Yeah. So I could actually manage money for someone in Texas. I am registered in Texas because I have clients in Texas. But I can't do financial planning in Texas. Right. That's a different registration. See how confusing this all is? And people don't understand that. And that's why they don't – often people say to me, how come you can't say what Dave Ramsey says and Susie Orman says? Well, Dave and Susie are not licensed financial planners. They're financial educators. Some of their advice is very good. Some of it makes me cringe. Mm-hmm.
Same thing. I personally, if I had my own show without Jim here,
hey,
I could say whatever I wanted.
You could because
– because right. I'm not – I don't see clients. I don't directly. I don't do any of that stuff. I'm an educator. I could say – I'm a radio personality at that point. I could say whatever I wanted.
Right, because you're a professor of financial planning.
Right, because I'm on this radio show with Jim, I have to play by the rules that Jim has to play by. But those rules do exist, and it isn't because people think, well, you know, Jim can't say this because he's misleading people. No, it's just they've got these blanket regulations that apply to everyone who engages with the public, who engages and deals with their money.
Correct.
It's protection for them, so they just make these blanket rules. They don't know Jim, who's an honorable, upstanding, educated, smart kind of guy. From someone who isn't, who's going to screw up somebody's finances and take their money.
So they dumb us down to the lowest common denominator.
So they just draw this line for everybody, and that's the way it is.
Right. And that's why Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman, you cannot hire them directly.
Right.
That allows them, much like Chris was alluding to pretty much say anything they want.
Right.
The sad thing is because these people, in my opinion, are financial entertainers – their advice is abhorrent at times, especially
some of
Ramsey.
It's good.
I don't want to throw Ramsey under the bus.
Some of it's right off the road.
Ramsey is okay with his debt management, but my God, he is
there's other aspects that he'll say something that's just
wrong.
Absolutely
wrong.
Incorrect.
Correct.
And absolutely against the regulations or laws, if you will. He answers to no one. I mean, he's not giving this advice to a client. He simply, at the end of the show, has to say, we're not giving you advice. You need to actually check with your own professional, your accountant or your lawyer or your financial planner.
And then he pushes his own, which, by the way, pay him a fee to get that referral.
Right.
So that's how he makes his money off of it. He does his financial entertaining show. Because he's not a registered financial planner, he can pretty much say whatever he wants, even give, in my opinion, outright bad advice. He's not a fiduciary. He has no fiduciary regulations over him. Then he encourages you to call his ELPs, endorsed local providers, who have to pay him a fee for every referral he sends them, whether that referral pays Dave or not. Now, I think under the DOL rule, he's going to have to start disclosing all this. But right now, you don't hear him talk about that. Call up this ELP. Oh, and by the way, they're going to pay me $200 for the privilege of talking to you, whether you hire them or not. So is he really recommending the ELP because they're good, or is he recommending the ELP because he gets $200 from them when he makes that referral?
And I'm sure of those ELPs, there's a whole bunch that are great, but there's probably some that aren't so great.
Right, but again, it makes you – under the DOL rules, you have to watch that now.
Yeah. Conflict of interest.
It's a conflict of interest.
He personally gains from referring
exactly.
You to those
people. So you may see some changes on his show. We're not throwing the man under the bus. It's just trying to explain to people why I was telling these people just now. I really can't get into much more depth on your answer because I'm constrained on what I can say. And these other people aren't, and I'm just trying to get people to understand, well, why does Dave give really specific advice and Jim is a little more hesitant? Because I have to. Okay, so we got another question.
Yep.
This one is, do we have time?
We do. We have time to frame the question. Depending on how long it is, we might have to answer it
after
the
break. It's not a Social Security question. This one, again, he admits in it. You'll see in a minute when I read it. It's probably a more in-depth question than can be answered on the phone, and he's encouraging me to keep it brief. So maybe he listens to the show.
anybody who's suggesting that right off the bat is probably a
He's
listener.
Like, keep the answer general, Jim.
Okay.
So, he begins. Hello, Jim.
What's his name first? I need to put him in the pie drawing.
Well, I don't know where he lives, so.
Oh, okay, fine.
He didn't indicate.
By the way, if you want to call in. Why don't we say that? 970-353-1310. We'd be more than happy to stop what we're talking about and chat with you. 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. Back to
your email. Perfect, because we always forget to give that number out. And that could be why nobody calls. And again, anybody want to win a pie, we are giving away a pie today. Now, you can't go to Fat Albert's today to pick up said pie, but we will mail you a coupon next week, and you might be able to get it by July 4th if a certain person who shall remain nameless actually remembers to give your name to his office staff on Monday morning. You could actually get the coupon and maybe get a holiday pie.
Nice.
So if anyone listening locally, right now we have two people, Georgette and Tom. Tom is an emailer from Denver. We did not answer Tom's email question today because I'm going to dedicate an entire show to Tom. But I figured I'd throw him in a pie drawing. Maybe he can win a July 4th pie.
Yeah.
Okay. So if anybody wants a pie, call and ask a legitimate question. Don't call and quiz Chris on his camp he's trying to sell.
2007 Fleetwood Niagara. Great shape.
$7,500.
Yeah, $7,500.
Okay. That doesn't count for pie drawing. This is not Swap Shop.
I'll buy you a pie if you buy my camper. How about that?
Buy Chris's camper and you get a free Fat Albert's pie. But anybody locally want to call, you got another half hour. Okay. This gentleman, again, we're going to call George as we call all emailers. He didn't indicate where he lives, so I have no clue.
Okay.
He begins, I'm a newsletter subscriber and podcast listener.
Excellent.
So I'm assuming he's an iTunian.
Could be.
For those who don't know, if you go to Jim Helps, J-I-M-H-E-L-P-S, right on the homepage, I think in the upper right, I forget, but somewhere on the homepage is a little box you can sign up for our newsletter. We don't spam you, don't send you any junk. What you essentially get is Justin writes a monthly retirement planning blog post. Last month was on taxation of Social Security benefits. And you get that article. You get links to our radio show, links to all the articles we post on Help with My Social Security. And you get to see a photo of me and Chris every month. So
and that comes out once a month. So it's not like every 2 days.
Right.
Like I'm on the – can I say Rick – what's his name on the phone, on the radio?
I have no idea who Rick, what's his name is.
Starts with an E.
Oh, Rick Edelman. Yeah, he's my hero. He's a nice guy.
Okay. Well, your hero spams the heck out
of my. Yeah, he's terrible.
Every two, three days, I'm getting some newsletter thing from him, and I'm about to shut him off.
He's all about marketing. We don't do that. If anything, if any marketing expert listens to our show, they're going to say, they're doing it all wrong. They never give their phone number. They never tell people that they do this for a living. They never hound people every 5 minutes to call for more information or a free customized retirement analysis gift just to you, not off the shelf, yada, 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 all that BS. We do this because we like it. You want to work with us, that's great. But I do this because I enjoy teaching people. So, yeah, he is incessant. I don't do that. It's all about hire us, hire us, hire us. Our newsletter is actually information.
Right.
Learn about Social Security, learn about taxation, learn about this. Here's our latest article. Thanks very much. And it has my photo and Chris's photo in it. So it doesn't get any better than that. Okay, so apparently he subscribes to the newsletter as well. Then he writes, I have a general question. I'm considering switching careers at age 47. And I like his train of thought here, Chris. So listen up, because we can do a whole show on this if we want, but we'll limit it to one segment. I'm considering switching careers at 47 in order to get a second retirement benefit that includes a defined benefit pension. Right now, I'm working with a company that offers a 401k. My 401k does have a pension, but the pension is not yearly. He must have wrote it on an iPhone because it's all he did sent from my iPad. The pension is not yearly, but once the funds are exhausted, the pension stops. So I'm going to explain what he's talking about there. It's not a pension. He's confusing what the 401k is doing. And I'm going to explain what he means by defined benefit, which is what he wants to switch to. In my earlier career, I was a school teacher. And now I live in a state where my math and science skills and license is highly sought, and I could get a teaching job. I would be taking a 50% pay cut, But I am thinking that a true lifetime payable pension after 20 more years of work could make being a teacher worthwhile. I recognize that to truly analyze my situation, you need a lot more of my financials. So I'm really asking you just for your general opinion. Thanks.
Okay. We have to take a short break now.
Interesting question.
Good though. Question. We'll pose that question that can kind of sink in with people over the break. If you feel a sudden urge to call, please do, and we will put off this emailer, answer them later. Number's 970-353-1310. When we come back from this break, we are going to hear the number one song from 35 years ago this week. And the hint is pretty straightforward. This week's hit from back in 1981 hit number one in 21 countries around the globe, which just proves bad taste is global. That's the part I added at the end.
Apparently it's not a song you don't like.
It's the same song I don't like. It keeps coming back.
Betty Davis Eyes?
Yes. You just let the cat out of the bag, but we'll hear it again.
Well, you've
again.
Been whining about this song forever.
I know. After this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show. Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the
I never
number
saw you
one
dance
song
like that before.
Again.
You were really getting into that.
I was convulsing. It wasn't dancing. She was inducing a seizure.
I think I'm going to make that our new theme song.
Oh, good. Betty Davis Eyes.
And we're going to change the name of our show.
Kim Carnes Woman.
To the Retirement and Kulak Show. And we're going to lead in with Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to this. Oh, never mind. Never mind.
Is that the hint?
No. No, the song kind of sprung forth from the 1942 Betty Davis classic, Now Voyager. And then there's a bunch of facts that says that Now Voyager was selected in 2007 for preservation in the U.S. National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. When I glanced down, I thought it was saying that this song somehow is in the Library of Congress in some special classification. But it's not.
For those who don't know, Chris hates this song. And it's been number one for about 87 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and then it dropped off 1 week.
Yes.
And then
it came back
again. Like a bad, it's turned up like a bad penny.
Oh,
you and I had that?
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah.
I would say like a bad headache or something, but you said a bad penny.
Well, that's the saying. I'm just reading.
But just as an FYI, someone emailed us the longest email we ever received. It was a very – I'm not saying that despairingly. He put a lot of info in. And fortunately, when I got to the end of it, it's for Pete. I forwarded it to Pete, and Pete will address his question. It's going to take Pete like 30 minutes. Pete Scott.
Well, I know who he is, but maybe the radio show listeners.
Peter Scott is our estate planning attorney who graciously came on the show and then promptly retired. So he only comes on every now and then. So Pete will be back answering this gentleman's show.
In July.
He will be on. The show will air July 23rd. Pete's going to record with us on July 19th.
Perfect.
So anyways, I emailed this gentleman to tell him Pete will be back then and we'll answer his questions. Mm-hmm. But at the end of his email, he specifically addresses your whining about Betty Davis Eyes. And he has come up with, I think, is a pretty good solution to your problem.
And plug my ears and go la, 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 la whenever it comes on.
How we won't fall victim to songs all the time being – he has a good suggestion. We may adopt it.
Okay.
And I'll share it with our listeners when we do his question.
I have to wait till July to get rid of Betty Davis Eyes?
Okay. I think it'll be gone by then, but he has a good suggestion.
Okay.
Okay, so what is new this week on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com?
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, this week on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, I do a little, I'll call it a refresher course, a little refresher on the basic Social Security claiming options, claiming at 62, claiming at your full retirement age, claiming at as late as age 70, those kinds of fairly basic things, but a lot of times we have moved on from the basics. We've moved on from the basics and we're talking about more complicated things. But when we have new people discover us and the blog at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, we can't assume they go back and read all the early stuff. So sometimes we need a little refresher course on the basics, and that's what I do this week.
Oh, very good.
What's new, pussycat?
little slow there by an agent, a little okay. sleep at
we
the wheel.
We kind of surprised him.
We did, because he didn't think we'd end that quickly.
No. Nothing we do is ever that short. So, back to our emailer.
Yes.
Who has...
Very unique.
He's currently working. He's age 46.
Seven.
He's he's currently 46. He's going to consider a career change at 47.
How do you know he's 46?
Because that's what you... I wrote notes as you read the email.
46 isn't even in here. He says, I am considering switching careers at age 47. I assumed he was 47
way
now.
Way earlier. Way when you first started talking, you identified him as being 46 years old.
Where the heck did I get that from?
Hmm.
I'm going to listen to that tape because I would have never said 46. But anyways, maybe he is 46.
Maybe. He's either 46 or 47. He's in his mid-40s.
He's going to switch at 47.
He's going to switch at 47 into a second career. Maybe he's considering it with the main attraction that this new career has a defined benefit plan, what we refer to as an old school pension, where the defined benefit plan promises to pay you a certain amount every year or every month for the rest of your life. That's different than handing you a pile of money like you would receive in a defined contribution plan like his 401k that he has right now at his current career. So he's attracted to maybe generating this pension income in the future that he cannot outlive, but he has to change jobs in order to pursue that because very few employers offer defined benefit plans anymore. And in his case, it turns out to be a teaching position working for a government agency, which are pretty much the only place you can get defined benefit plans anymore. Not totally, but pretty close.
Right. So there's a few moving parts here. Mm-hmm. Some of the things, first of all, Chris alluded to, I wanted to mention because he used the verbiage defined benefit. Chris explained that a defined benefit is where the employer defines the benefit you will get. That's what a pension is. If you work for us for 20 years, you will get this percent of your salary. If you work for us for 25 years, you will get this percent of your salary. They define the benefit. A 401k in financial planning parlance is called a defined contribution plan. The employer will not define what your benefit is. They will define how much they will put in for you. Some employers put nothing, and that's their definition. You get nothing. But most employers will match it so long as you put something in. So if you put 2% of your salary in, they'll put 2% of your salary in, so on and so forth. Some match up to 5%. Some match up to 10%. It's all different. How much you can earn, how much you can generate in income in retirement, that's all unknown. The only thing they're defining is how much they're going to allow you to put into the account. You have to then manage it and invest it. And most 401ks now offer management services for you, so they'll do it. But how much you will end up with at the end of a 20, 25-year career, that's unknown. Nobody knows that. So those are the two types of plans. He did write something that I want to point out to all listeners. He said his 401k offers, and the you know when you write on an iPad or an iPhone, it auto-corrects for you? Mm-hmm. So this section is a little auto-corrector, so I'm going to have to kind of put in into what I think he's trying to say. He must have talked to somebody at his 401k because they said they offer a yearly payout, like a pension. But when the money in the 401k runs out, the money stops. Okay, that is not a pension.
Right.
And it should not be described as a pension, should not be called pension-like. All's what it is they're saying, we will automatically send you as much money as you tell us to send you every year, and you don't have to do anything, until the account runs out of money.
Yeah, it's just set up on auto draft.
Yeah, that's all it is. It is not a pension. A pension, you can't specify the amount of money they're going to pay you. Sometimes they give you choices. You got option 1, 2, or 3. Colorado Para, which is the teacher pension for the teachers in the state of Colorado, they have 3 choices, option 1, 2, or 3, or A, B, and C. But you can't ask for more or less than those options. But if you live long enough and you received all the money that you had put into your pension over your working years, they got to keep paying you. For as long as you live. In a 401k, there generally are no pension options. So what he described really isn't a pension. It's just an automatic withdrawal of your money that they will send you to live on every year. And when it runs out, your money runs out. So he is contemplating, should he take a 50% pay cut. And I'm assuming that's initially a 50% pay cut. First-year teachers don't make anything. And
it depends on what kind of teaching he's doing.
True. But well, he alluded to that his science and math skills.
But at what level? Whether this is university or high school or grade school.
I have no idea. He didn't get into all
of that.
Very different
pay scale.
But he's contemplating initially taking a pay cut to get in return a pension. A pension that will pay him. He's going to work for 20 years, he alluded to. So he'd be working until around age 67, and then I would assume retire or at least evaluate his options. Mm-hmm. And is it worth it to change careers and take a pay cut to get a guaranteed pension? And this one, really, Chris, if your head is turning like mine, there's a lot of things he needs to evaluate here. Mm-hmm. Some of my – on face value, you and I love secure income. We call pensions secure income. Our whole business model and philosophy on retirement planning is to help people maximize Social Security, maximize pension, and if need be, maximize income annuities. That's why we talk about DIAs, SPIAs, and QLACs, teaching people how you can buy these pension-like options on your own. But we always say, generally, pensions and Social Security pay more than anything you can buy on your own because we joke – but I often say government pensions and Social Security are devoid of economic reality. They truly are. Private pensions can't pay what government pensions pay because a private employer is not backed by the deep pockets of a U.S. Treasury or a government that can tax their residents. So you often see government pensions, which are also union controlled, so they vote in a lot of good benefits for them, that generally speaking, government pensions are better than you can get in the private sector. Not always, but generally. So on face value, what he's saying sounds good to me.
He said he's given up half of his pay.
That's what
I'm over 20 years, if he's willing to give up half of his pay, he could just continue in his career
and say
shave half of his pay off if that's what he wants to do. He could probably do this with a lot less than half and create his own personal pension via a variety of techniques to end up in pretty much the same place and not be forced to take the 50% pay cut.
That's why I said there's many moving parts here. Initially, I was attracted to it. But as I started thinking about it, I was like, wait a minute. Is this 50% pay cut forever? So what he has to evaluate is his current job and his current skills. If he is 46 or 47, he can pretty much figure out what he's going to be earning. How much more upside potential does his current job offer? Now, if his current salary can continue to increase at a good rate, or is he at peak earnings and max earnings for his skill set already? Whereas a teaching position, his income will only go up. As he gains tenure, as he stays at the school system, maybe a first-year teacher doesn't get much, but I know plenty of 10, 15-year teachers who are already into their career. They make pretty damn good money. And they work 180 days a year, and they get a lot of time off, and they can have a very flex schedule. And perhaps he has a career where he could do something on his own over the summer, like my sister does, who's a teacher but does things over the summer. Maybe he just wants to enjoy his life. It's not all about work, Chris. Mm-hmm. And maybe he just wants more flexibility and more time to enjoy what the good Lord has given him while he can. So there's a lot of thoughts he has to take into effect here. And we also haven't talked about Social Security. His private employer will most likely be offering Social Security. So we have to look at what would his future Social Security benefit be were he to stay working at his current job. Ergo, that's why I want to know how much future income potential does he have. And we, you and I, could easily, with our software, project what he may earn in Social Security. Then we would have to evaluate that against what his pension benefit is. A defined benefit, they'll tell him from day one what he's entitled to. So then we have to look at, well, based on salary scales that these government jobs come with, what will you be earning and what could your future pension be? And then we would subtract his pension benefit from Social Security, and that's his true net. And could he then on his own save the difference? Because that's really what we're talking about. Could he on his own, if he could take a 50% pay cut, perhaps he can save more, as Chris said. And could the difference between Social Security and what he could save be greater than this government pension? Or is this government pension, I believe, if memory serves me correct, a state like Florida, is different than Colorado. Colorado teachers do not get Social Security. Floridian teachers mm-hmm. do.
As do Wyoming.
Okay, mm-hmm. so I would want to know, where does he live and what school system? Are they integrated with Social Security or not? If they're not, he may be able to do better on his own because he would get Social Security and could save the difference and create his own pension. But if his school system gives him a pension and Social Security, now I'm leaning more towards going that way. So what I'm trying to explain to him, he wanted me to be brief, which I think I'm trying to be, and generalized, which I can't be. There are so many moving parts here, listener, for you to evaluate. You may want to consider hiring someone to help you crunch these numbers and evaluate this. Or again, we are available. We can help you look at many of the different aspects that he probably hasn't thought of that we would.
Perfect. So we actually have a phone call.
So we have to leave him. Thank you very much, listener. I don't know where you live. You didn't say in your email to me. But we need to do a little more discussion on this. There's too many options.
For sure. So now we're going to go to Ben in Loveland, who's on the phone line with us. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Doing well.
Great.
Hey, mine is related to yours. And as you were talking, you even said Wyoming. So a perfect segue.
Great. But teacher. You're not in Wyoming. You're in Loveland.
No, but teacher.
Yes.
Colorado.
Yes.
DERA, para.
Yep.
Now, I can stop teaching now, here, have my full benefit from the PERA in Colorado.
Yep.
I live really close to Wyoming. Get a job in Wyoming as a teacher. They're under PERA, the para program, as well. Can I pull from both PERA states?
They're not both under para. It's two completely different retirement programs. Wyoming has their own program that is similar to para, and Colorado has their own, but they're not the same program, first of all. In Wyoming, they've chosen to do a coordinated system, which is participate in Social Security as well as have the Wyoming pension. In Colorado, they chose to do a replacement where the Colorado pension replaces Social Security. Now, could you go generate a Wyoming pension? Absolutely, you could do that. And you would possibly generate a small Social Security benefit if you haven't generated one yet. But you will be then subject to things like the WEP, the windfall elimination provision, which might reduce the Social Security benefit you earn in Wyoming, not because of the Wyoming pension, but because of the para Colorado pension that you have. But is there anything? There is nothing preventing you from earning a pension in both states. There's a lot of teachers that start in Wyoming, end up in Colorado, and vice versa. Happens regularly.
But no benefit to me in the sense of I can draw from two. One will lower the other.
Well, the Social Security piece might be affected by your para.
Right.
So when you look at the total compensation from the Wyoming opportunity, you can't just look at the pension you believe you will create as well as the Social Security benefit you'll create, because there's a little side effect from the para that you're bringing along with you. The para
right.
is kind of like a little contaminant in this program where where it will then reduce your Social Security benefit. Not wipe it out, but will reduce it to some extent, and it kind of depends on what the numbers end up being, how much it reduces it, but it will affect it because you participated in a program that didn't contribute to Social Security during your years in Colorado.
Now, it's possible if you have 30 or more years of substantial earnings, this won't be an issue, but it depends what you did before you became mm-hmm. a teacher, if you got a few years of substantial earnings. If you did work 20 years in Wyoming as a teacher, he'll definitely get 20 years of substantial earnings. So does he have another 10 years of substantial earnings right. to exempt him from WEP? We don't know. So it's compelling. I would also say if you stayed in the Colorado para, would your future para benefit be greater than what Wyoming would, and it would save you the hassle of driving up I-25 in the middle of a snowstorm?
Exactly.
True. But those are things that could be looked at if we, took a look at some hard numbers face-to-face.
Now, you could relocate to Wyoming and save on state taxes, and that might make things a little more compelling, and you'll save on the commute. But the downside of that is you're living in Wyoming. So,
exactly.
It's up to you on that one.
Well, we're going to have to run here, Ben.
All right,
thanks
thank
a lot
you.
For the call. We're going to enter you into the pie drawing, which we're doing actually right now.
Oh, yeah, right now. This minute is over.
We've got a minute and a half left. So.
Oh, that's plenty of time. I got another time to talk about another topic.
No. So, thanks for joining us again on another episode.
And thanks for the callers today.
Yeah, Retirement and IRA Show. As always, I'm going to randomly assign numbers to we have three entrants.
You have the emailer, you have this latest caller, and Georgette. Was there another one?
Correct. No.
Okay.
There wasn't. So we have three entrants into the pie drawing this week or this month. And Jim, you need to pick a number between 1 and 3.
Let's see. I will choose 1.7.
Oh, a counting number between 1 and 3.
Well, you didn't specify. All right. So it's got to be a
inclusive.
Whole number. All right.
Including 1 and 3. Those are valid choices. Choose 1, 2, or 3.
Okay. Then I will say 1.
1 is Tom from Denver.
No kidding.
The emailer, yeah. All right. Here's the proof. See, I assigned him randomly the
number
1.
You do have a number 1 right next to him. Okay.
So we're down to our last 30 seconds here. This is the Retirement and IRA Show. We had a live show. We'll have another live show in July, but it'll just be one. We're going to go to just one live show per month.
At least for the summer.
Mm-hmm. So we hope everybody has a fabulous Saturday. I know I'm going to go out in the great outdoors of Colorado and enjoy myself. So everyone take care, and we'll be back with you next week with another show here on the Retirement and IRA Show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Missed any of today's show? Listen again on iTunes or the Retirement and IRA Show.com.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.